Good evening. Thank God. Today is Asar B'Tevis, but it's not yet the fast of Asar B'Tevis, which is relevant, and that's something we'll discuss a little bit. But Asar B'Tevis in general is somewhat unique, if I can say that. And, on the surface, Asar B'Tevis is not unique, it's pretty routine. There's a package of four tanaisim that go together. You know, we generally have six tanaisim throughout the year, at least us average folk. Some tzaddikim will fast more, some fast less, but the average person has six tanaisim throughout the Jewish calendar. Yom Kippur is clearly its own category. The day of Kaparis Licham and Atar is the only one that comes from the Torah itself. And Tanis Esther is its own category also. It has a special connection to Purim, it's a different mood. Those two removed, so we're left with the four Tanaisim that comprise the set of the Chovim based on Mikdash Tanaisim. And on the surface, they should all be treated the same. And now they aren't. The Tisha B'Av is treated differently, and we'll talk about that. But it could be that Asar B'Tevis also has a difference to it. It's more of a theoretical difference. But it might be very instructive about Tanaisim in general and about Asar B'Tevis specifically. The Beis Yosef quotes from the other drum, and some other sources is quoted from the Gaonim, and some other sources is quoted from the Bahag, whoever it is, the Bahag of the drum, the idea that if Asar B'Tevis would fall out on Shabbos, then we would fast even on Shabbos. I shouldn't even say that much. I shouldn't say we would fast. I'd say it wouldn't be possible to be doche to a different day, which actually might be what he means. But he says we would not be able to shift away Asar B'Tevis. The way that we do Tisha B'Av and Shavuos B'Tammuz, when they fall out on Shabbos, happens relatively frequently, we push it off to Sunday. Yom Kippur, as we saw this year, we observe on Shabbos, it's in the Torah, that's the day. But the Tanaishim of Shavuos B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, we push off to Sunday when they land that way. So Asar B'Tevis suggests the Avodram, that we would not do that because of a pasuk in the book of Yechezkel, which refers to Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, that on this day itself, that's when the fast should be. Beis Yosef says that the Pelas know where this comes from, and the Minchas Alavi discusses in these tshuvas that apparently Beis Yosef's objection is that you can't just make up a drasha; it's got to be in Chazal. We don't have the power in the time of the Rishonim to interpret psukim with halachic nafkaminas the way we want. It's got to be there. So that's a question where he got it from. But that's where he starts. So Yor Samech, in his commentary to the Rambam, Yor Samech suggests that maybe there's a shtickle raya to this from the Gemara. It's a kind of a roundabout point. But the Gemara brings the question, what should happen if you have somebody who's taking a private fast, a tainus yachid, somebody accepts upon himself a fast, and he does it on Friday. He's fasting on Friday. So is it appropriate that he should fast all the way up until Shabbat? He should be mashlim the tainus, he should make it a complete day. Because we have a hesitation to do that. We generally don't fast on Friday because we have this idea that we don't want to go into Shabbos maneuver. We don't want to go into Shabbos when we're plotting and falling apart and we're all starving and it's not so conducive to creating oneg. We want to be in a better mood. So we normally don't fast on Friday. So the Gemara says, so what's the story? If I take upon myself a personal fast, so maybe I should fast on Friday, I shouldn't fast, I shouldn't finish it. So the Gemara says, why is he asking about a private fast? Why didn't the Gemara ask about a calendaric fast? One of the days of the calendar should fall out on Friday, so would we observe the fast? So says Yor Samech, it must be that the reason the Gemara doesn't say that is because there's only one tainus that does fall out on Friday, and that's Asar B'Tevis. And Asar B'Tevis you do even on Shabbos. So therefore, if you do it on Shabbos, apparently you would do it on Friday as well. So it's a little bit of a backwards point. Apparently his raya is not from the fact that we do fast on Friday for Asar B'Tevis, which occasionally happens, but that the Gemara doesn't ask about it. The fact that the Gemara doesn't challenge any of the tainusim, that's apparently the thrust of his point, that Asar B'Tevis is the case. And again, as I think we mentioned, practically speaking, it doesn't happen. The calendar is set up that way that we don't have Asar B'Tevis on Shabbos. But the very notion is something that is perhaps reflective of something. Well, we go up to Shabbos. The question is, you know, when you put Shabbos on early or not. But we do fast the entire day.
You mean
far as I'm aware. There's some discussion about the fact that how tribes develop, which again is why I think there are some acts not bringing a riot from that, because maybe there are just from the Hagim, and I'm not totally sure if everyone does it the exact same way, to what extent it's debated. But and that may be why it's not used as a source, and some of the Hagim perhaps developed more recently. But the Gemara doesn't even ask the question. That seems to be the thrust of his point. So in any event, this idea that the fast should be special in this case is a topic of a lot of discussion. And first of all, so what exactly is the problem with fasting on Shabbos? So that's not clear. It seems to be that it's against the Divrei Kabbalah. We've discussed it many times that we have the idea that Divrei Kabbalah refers to something which came to us through transmission, through receiving, not anything to do with mysticism. And it generally refers to those things that we find in Tanakh, but not in Chumash, in Nach. We find them in the Vayim Ksuvim. And so essentially they're really Drabbanim. They're not created, they don't come from Hashina, they don't come from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But the fact that they're scriptural and they were transmitted through the prophets gives them a little bit of a higher status. And the Gemara has this expression, and this is very relevant to this whole discussion. The Gemara has this expression, Divrei Kabbalah ki Divrei Torah Domi. The Gemara has it really in a very specific context. But there are those who argue that this means the whole story. It means, for all intents and purposes, Divrei Kabbalah is ki Divrei Torah Domi. This is the way the Tari Evan, the author of the Shagash Aryeh, in his commentary to Megillah, he asserted like this, that we treat these dinim like they are dinim in the Torah. And that means that Seko Lahachmir, it means that if we're not sure what the rule is, we're going to be Machmir like we are at Dinim Torah. And as we'll discuss, it also means if you're prioritizing Dinim and you have a Din Derabbanan or a Divrei Kabbalah, the Divrei Kabbalah is going to win. So the Osamech, in this point in this discussion also, so he notes that he says it's only an Ishtar Daraisa, whatever that means, to fast on Shabbos if it's the whole day. If you're going to fast for 24 hours, then that's an Issa Daraisa. Again, what does he mean by an Issa Daraisa per se? It means a Bittul Daraisa of eating. You know, are we showing to say it's an Issa Daraisa to eat on Shabbos? Or does it mean that the Bittul of the Divrei Kabbalah of Oneg Shabbos? What exactly that language means is a little unclear, but essentially it's only an Issa Daraisa, so to speak, to fast on Shabbos for 24 hours. So therefore, once we're talking about a daytime fast, it's already not as much of a contrast. The fast only takes place during the day. It's already easier to swallow, no pun intended, that maybe it could take place on Shabbos. By contrast, Tisha B'Av, that wouldn't be the story, because Tisha B'Av is a whole 25-hour experience, so that would, by necessity, cancel out all of Shabbos, and that's a different story. Why Shabbos with the Tam is not, that they have to explain. But maybe for that reason already, you say Tisha B'Av would have to be pushed off, but the Sar B'Tavis, the Sar B'Tavis could, in theory, coexist with Shabbos, at least on that level. Now, the Minchas Chinuch, separately from this, the Minchas Chinuch explains in general, well, the truth is, when we talk about fasting on Shabbos, we talk about the Tanaisim, these four Tanaisim on Shabbos, so really we're talking about a clash between two different Divrei Kabbalah, because Oneg Shabbos is from the Pasuk in Yeshayah, across the Shabbos Oneg, so across the Shabbos Oneg, so that's the marker for eating on Shabbos, in a sense. And the Tanaishim are also considered to be Medivrei Kabbalah because the Pasuk in the book of Zechariah identified Tzom HaRevi'i, Tzom HaChamishi, this fast of the fourth month, the fifth month, etc. All of these fast days, Yul Beis Yehud will sustenance them, because these days will ultimately be happy days. So in that Pasuk is identification of the four Beis HaMikdash fasts. So really you have a clash of a Medivrei Kabbalah against a Medivrei Kabbalah. So why is it assumed that Shabbos is going to win, Oneg Shabbos is going to win over these Tanaisim? Now, should you assume the other way? Not necessarily, but the premise that the Minchas Chinuch starts with is, why is it that Shabbos wins, Oneg Shabbos wins? So the answer that he gives is that, what does the Divrei Kabbalah say? You know, what is it the Pasuk tells us? The Pasuk, Tzom Harvi, so what does that mean? It means I have to fast with us in the Tammuz? No, it means I have to fast in Tammuz. So if I push the fast off to the next day, I am 100% in compliance with the Divrei Kabbalah. Maybe it's a Din D'Rabbanan, it should be the 17th. We don't say that it's totally optional for a person to pick any day in the month to fast. You know, I'm not going to say that that's totally up to you. Maybe that's a Din D'Rabbanan or a Minhag or whatever it is. It's a requirement. But that's not necessarily the Divrei Kabbalah. But the fast of Tammuz should be on the 17th. The fast of Av should be on the 9th. That we don't have a source for the Brit Kabbal. And in fact, if you look into the top a little bit, you see some of the days are a little bit approximated. And it's not so partial for all the days, and this is entirely the day. So the way it's presented in the Novi, a fast of Tammuz and a fast of Av, and a fast of Tishrei, and a fast of Tevis. It can be moved around. However, fast of Tevis, we have this other pasuk in Yechezkel, that's in the Yom HaZeh. So therefore, maybe the other three will let Shabbos win, because we could give me a ask, we could make a saying. We could push the fast off till Sunday and still fulfill the pasuk. When it comes to Sarah Tevis, so maybe that's not a possibility, it has to be pumped in that day. Okay, so that could be true. So as we'll see in this discussion, basically this kind of introduce it in the middle, the discussion I want to have, you see there's a lot of parts to this puzzle, and they don't all necessarily, find them in the same place, but there are a lot of reasons that could be brought into the discussion why Asar B'Tavis might be treated a little bit differently. So what do we have so far? We have the pasuk that's based on safe quotes. We have the fact that it's only a partial day fast, which helps. And we have the fact that the pasuk also strengthens the Divrei Kabbalah to make it specifically on the day. Maybe that's just literally what the Avodah meant. And that already also separates it from other Tanais. Now, Lamaisa, to have a fast on Shabbos, is that totally out of the question? So we know it's not totally out of the question. Reb Chaim, in the stencils, the official Reb Chaim Sefer is Reb Chaim and Rambam, Chidushei Rabbeinu Chaim HaLevi. That's the only canonized Reb Chaim book. The second tier, and it's less official than that, is the Chidushei Hagrach HaLashash. Reb Chaim, can't be that official, it's in the stencils, known as the stencils. It's always been presented in a less professional looking copy. So Reb Chaim in the stencils, is the way he's saying, he's behind the stencils, so he has a brief discussion about this, where he notes that it's not so inconceivable that you're going to find a fast on Shabbos, because we have a concept of a Tainis Chalom, that the Gemara says in the Sachas Tainis, that if somebody has a bad dream at night, so different people relate to different dreams differently. This is not really a unilateral kind of thing, but sometimes somebody will wake up in the morning and they'll say, I had a dream. It's not funny. And other people will say, I had a dream and I'm miserable. I'm very upset about it. So the Gemara says, so what should you do if that's the case? If you're that type of person with that type of dream, you woke up and you really believe that there's something terrible going on. So the Gemara says, then you should take it seriously if that's how you relate to it. And the best idea is to fast. The Gemara has this expression, Yafir Tainis Lacholim Ke'eshlan Aoris, that a fast has an impact on a dream like a fire dust to flax. It burns right through it and boom. So too, your dream will be burnt right through by the fast, and that's a good idea. And the Gemara says, even on Shabbos, you had a dream Friday night, you wake up Shabbos morning, and you're all upset, you should fast then. Now, why is that? So the Mefarshim explain that it's because, really, why am I supposed to eat on Shabbos? I'm supposed to eat on Shabbos because it's an oneg, and for most people, that's required to have oneg. You're not going to have oneg if you're not eating. But it could be that you could have a very, very rare circumstance where not eating is better for you than eating as far as creating an atmosphere of oneg. And if that's the case, so then this could possibly be such an example that you're going to be so miserable over Shabbos because of your dream, so better you should fast, you'll have a better mood than you would have had eating. But still, that's not perfect. The Gemara says that if you do this, you fast on Shabbos later on, you have to fast again. You have to fast to do tshuva for having fasted on Shabbos. So you're going to have to fix this later, but this is the immediate quick fix. So what do you see from there? Well, you see that not that it's inconceivable to have a fast on Shabbos, but that if the fast is motivated by tshuva, if that's what it's about, and you're trying to fix some problem that you have, in theory, it could be compatible with Shabbos. You want to mourn, you want to just be miserable about something that's in the past, Shabbos is not the time. But if you want to fix the future, and you want to do tshuva, so maybe in theory, that could be. Now, keeping that in mind, so it's interesting to note that there are some unique qualities of Asar B'Tavis. This was discussed in a essay in Sefer Tiferes Torah. It was written by the late Shimshon Pinkus. You probably heard of more from Achshava. He has a Sefer on Lumbus called Tiferes Torah. And in that Sefer, also there's a volume of Chumash, so in the Sefer and Sugyas, he discusses a little bit of Sar B'Tavis. And it's interesting to note that Sar B'Tavis really is fundamentally different than the other three Tanaisim. The other three Tanaisim, we have Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av is the Churban Abayis. Shavasa B'Tam is the siege. From Gedalia was killed. This is a very significant event. What happened on Asar B'Tavis? Bo Samach Melech Bavel all year. So the king of Bavel approached. He came near. It's very vague, first of all. But also, it's not inherently significant. Had that process stopped after that, there'd be nothing to mourn. Had he been so much all year and then got up and turned around, so then who knows, then we wouldn't be thinking about it at all. So really what was significant about Asar B'Tavis is that it was a threat of something, and that in a sense that seems to be part of the nature of the day, that the day is a day of a threat. It's a day of bad luck, so to speak, where tshuva is a response. It's not so much that it's a day when there was an event and that event is something we're mourning for. So we lost the Beis HaMikdash, so we're mourning over the Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av. It's also a day of tshuva. It's a combination. It's a day of tshuva and a day of mourning. And that could be true about any of these events. When it comes to Asar B'Tavis, it's not really the case. It's more a day of bad luck, so to speak, a day of threat, a day when there's a crisis. And therefore, it's a day of tshuva, rather than really mourning over something. And in this discussion of Pinkus notes, for example, there is a minhag that many people have, it's put in Shulchan Aruch, that somebody has a yahrzeit for a parent, they'll fast on that day. And there's a discussion between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, what happens if the yahrzeit falls on one of the days when one doesn't fast, so should one push the fast off to a different day, or you say it can't be pushed off to a different day. So Rav Pinkus explains over there what this idea that you couldn't push it off to a different day is, because really this is a little bit the opposite of what you might think. Why does somebody fast on the yahrzeit? It's not about avelus. It's not that they're mourning the relative, because this could be now 50 years later, and it says that that's the way the world works. The relative would have presumably died a long time ago. But it's a day of bad luck for the family. It's a day when the family had bad mazel, so to speak, when it's like a moment of kitrug for the family, a parent passed away on that day. So therefore, it's an appropriate day of tshuva. It's an appropriate response, that that's how the child that is of such a parent should react. So that's not portable. That doesn't move from one day to the next, because it's not about the parent. If it's not about the loss, the mourning can move. This yeshiva sometimes waits till after yontif. Mourning, the act of grieving, is portable. But to respond to a day and say today is a day of concern, that's not something that moves from one day to the next. And they say that it's also a joke about a guy who didn't want to fast on some Gedalia, because he said that Gedalia wouldn't have fasted for him, and that by now Gedalia would be dead anyway. So that's essentially the point that he's making. He says, well, it's not so much he's asking for a person, but the day of tshuva that's created, that's what the issue is. And so maybe that's all the more so, that's what Asar B'Tavis is. It's about an atmosphere in the day, and therefore that's not something that can be shifted from day to day. And this is something that we really find within the Tanaishim in general. There's a whole story, but I don't remember if we ever discussed Tisha B'Av in detail here. I'm usually away during the summer, so I don't know if we've ever went into great detail when it comes to Tisha B'Av. So it's interesting to perhaps draw from there. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, so Tisha B'Av is clearly set aside from the other Tanaishim. The observance of Tisha B'Av, even though ostensibly it should be grouped with the other three, but we find that Tisha B'Av is treated with a clearly different severity, that it's observed for 25 hours, and it's observed with all the five Inuyim, and then some, and Asar B'Tavis and others is only during the daytime, as we say the first sentence. Today is Asar B'Tavis, but not the fast yet of Asar B'Tavis. And it's also only a Achil and Shtiyah, that's the whole story. Just eating and drinking, and nothing else is really prohibited. So why do you have that distinction if they're all from the same place? What should there be a difference? So the Ramban has a theory about this, which not everyone accepts, but it may be the key. The Ran quotes this from Ban in his commentary to Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yitzchak, which is the Gemara that's based on. The Ramban writes this in his Sefer Torah Sa'adim as well, and that's what he writes originally, the Ran quotes it from. He says as follows, the Gemara says over there in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yitzchak, that pasuk that we mentioned from the book of Zechariah, so the fast days will ultimately be Rosh Hashanah Simcha, they're ultimately going to be holidays. So the Gemara says, that's terrific, so when's it going to be? When are we going to be able to celebrate? So the response is, well, it depends. That when there's Shalom, then it's going to be a holiday. So when does that mean? When is the Shalom? So it's not clear from Rishonim what exactly Shalom means. It's something we don't have yet. It's something that's in the future. It could mean a Beis HaMikdash, it could mean Mashiach, it could just mean national autonomy, some Rishonim sound like. It's a little vague, but it's apparently something that's not here yet. So when that comes, then these days will be holidays. When there's Shmad, if there's persecution from the nations, so then they are fast days. If it's in between, if it's neither Shalom or Shmad, so then it's optional. Ratzu Meshanim, Ratzu Ein Meshanim. So says the Ramban, that's what's going on now. We are in this in-between stage. It's not Shalom, it's not Shmad. So therefore, the fast days are not obligatory. They're actually optional. So don't get too excited and plan your fancy lunch for tomorrow. Klal Yisrael apparently accepted them. But they accepted them in a different way. So listen, we'll throw in these extra fast days that we don't have to do, but we're not going to have four Tisha B'Av a year. That's too much for us. We'll have a soup down fast. We'll have a fast where we'll fast just during the daytime and we'll stay away from a chil and shtir. It'll be a day of tshuva and it'll be a wake up call. We're not doing the whole shebang. So then what about Tisha B'Av? So how come Tisha B'Av is still in its full force? So because that, the Gemara says, is not part of this equation. If Tisha B'Av is different, the Tisha B'Av had a multiplicity of events associated with whatever that means. Again, if we talk about Tisha B'Av, we'll go more into detail. But Tisha B'Av is its own category, and therefore the Tanation are separated. The other three Tanation have this optional category, and Tisha B'Av doesn't. So that perhaps, as some of the Chachamim want to explain, B'tchot Sarovsky, I think, has like this in the Sefer Devar Yitzchak, that originally the Tanation were all about the combination of Avelus and Tshuva. And nowadays, so we water down the Avelus. The Avelus is not so strong because we're not really in a time of Shmad. Beis HaMikdash is still a big concern. Tisha B'Av is still Tisha B'Av. But the other days we accepted them as a time of Tshuva. So therefore, again, their nature is not as incompatible with Shabbos as they once were. And this might, again, be especially true about Asara B'Tavis, where maybe its theme is more all about that. Now, if we say that there's something inherent in the day as opposed to Avelus, so once again, as we saw a few minutes ago, that also lends itself to not being portable, not being moved around. And just to illustrate this, it's a very interesting discussion the Gemara has. The Gemara tells us that Bikesh Rabbi Lakoros Tisha B'Av. The Rabbi wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. A shocking idea. It's the Gemara Masechus Megillah and Daf Hey. Rabbi wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av. I can't believe it, right? Tosa says, don't we believe that Tisha B'Av is important? Don't we believe that if you want to see a Geula, you have to identify with Klal Yisrael Tzaros and mourn on Tisha B'Av? So Tosa says, yeah, slow down. He didn't mean when he wants to cancel Tisha B'Av, as much as it sounds like that, Lakoros Tisha B'Av. Two possibilities. Either he didn't want it to be so chomer, he didn't want it to be different than the other three Tanais, and he thought it should be like Asara B'Tavis. Or, he didn't want it to be on Tisha B'Av. He wanted it to be on the 10th. That we have the view, Gemara and Tainus tells us the view of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan said, Amoya Avay Hashem, if I had been there when they decided this, I wouldn't have said Tisha B'Av, I would have voted for the 10th of Av. Because Rubo Sohechol Nisraf, most of the Beis HaMikdash was burnt on the 10th. So if I wanted to pick a day, I would have picked the 10th of Av. I think the 9th of Av is the wrong day. So that idea is interesting. So Tosfos is saying, focus on the second answer for a second. Tosfos is saying, what did Rabbi want? Rabbi wanted that the Tisha B'Av should be on the 10th. So as the Terry Evan points out, the Grub points out, it doesn't fit at all with the Gemara. Because the Gemara already raises this question, how could he be Mevatel Tisha B'Av? Can't be. So the Gemara says, no, he didn't want to be Mevatel Tisha B'Av, really. It was only when Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos. When Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos, and we pushed off till Sunday, so he said, Ho v'nidche yidache. Once it's pushed off, let it be forgotten about. Let's not observe it at all. So it's a complete contradiction. But according to Tosfos, he wants it to be on the 10th of Av. And according to the Gemara, when it was on the 10th of Av, he said, let's forget about it. How do you explain that? There's a very nice explanation in the Sefer Avnei Shalom, the contemporary Sefer by Nachum Eisenstein. I wanted to say as follows. So there was a fundamental debate between Rebbe and Chachamim as to what is the driving force of Tisha B'Av. Is Tisha B'Av really about Avelus? And does its severity come from there? Or is it about something inherent in the day, that it's a day, Hamuchim L'Parani, it's a day that goes back to the Meraglim, a day that has something in its very nature? So, said Rebbe, I think it's about Avelus, and that that's what would give it severity. And therefore, I think it should be on the 10th of Av. Because Rubo Shohechon Nisraf, most of the loss happened on the 10th. So since I think Avelus is where it comes from, that's when it should be. Now my colleagues, Chachamim, you think it should be on the 9th. So first of all, I would say, so both Anshin and Tosfos, they wanted to get rid of the Chumras, or he wanted to move it to the 10th. So if you're going to have it on the 9th, you shouldn't have all the Chumras. Because then you're not saying it's about Avelus. You're saying it's a day of Tshuva, there's something in the day. So then you shouldn't have all these Chumras. And if you're going to say it's a day of Tshuva because the day has a character to it, that's not portable. You can't push it off. So pick one. Either always have it on the 10th because it's about Avelus, or have it on the 9th and don't move it. But to say you can have it on the 9th and push it off to the 10th, that he thought was inconsistent. So again, this illustrates this point that when you have a fast day that's not really about an event, but it's a day of Tshuva because there's something inherent in the day, so then maybe that helps us to understand why it should be that it should be Davka on the day itself, and therefore again maybe Davka on Shabbos if that's the case. And just to add to the thought, there is Al-Fidarach HaDrosh, there is an idea that there is a sefer that was printed in memory of Shlomo Kalis, who was the son-in-law of the Chalkis Yoh. By David Mandelbaum from Eretz Yisrael printed a sefer as a card for him. It's called Zichron and Shlomo, I think. And in the sefer, so his birthday was Asar B'Tavis. So he has a whole section, everything you ever want to know about Asar B'Tavis. And once we're on the sentence of birthdays on Asar B'Tavis, he also has a whole section there, everything you ever wanted to know about birthdays, both discussions. And he has there that he quotes from the Sefer that this whole idea, the language is funny, they both samach melech bavel. So samach, it's really a language of support. You know, samach on something, you rely on something. So what does that mean? So Pidarach HaDrush, he says that that time, that year, Asar B'Tavis was at Asar B'Tavis Sechalios B'Shabbos. So this event was happening in Shabbos. And here, the king of Bavel was standing outside the city, and he didn't know what he had Patrofa. He didn't know if he could take on the Jewish people. And then he heard from inside the city, he heard Chol Shabbos going on. They said, oh, if they're not even keeping Shabbos, then they're weak. Then I can get them. And Bo Samach, that's what he relied on. He built on, he trusted this Chol Shabbos to even the Chizik to attack the Jews. And that's what made it work. So therefore, this idea of Shabbos is really intricately connected to Asar B'Tavis, and therefore it's appropriate that Asar B'Tavis should be observed even on Shabbos, because the lack of commitment to Shabbos at that time was inherent in what happened. And just to add a little bit more, Rabbi Baruch Simon Shlita in his Sefer Imei Baruch, which discusses, that, first of all, that Echsan Sofer says in his drashas that there is apparently a tradition, he writes from the Drash to Slichas, that every year on Asar B'Tavis, it's decided what will be that year on Tisha B'Av. Will there be a Tainus on Tisha B'Av or not? And if that's the case, so then it strengthens the idea that in a very real sense, Asar B'Tavis is not a day of worrying about the past, of being anguished about the past. It's a day of changing the future. It's about affecting what's going to be. And therefore, again, it's not something that's so inappropriate for Shabbos. It's something very practical to stop this from happening. And he wants a quote from Rav Shlomo Fischer. Rav Shlomo Fischer theorized that every fast day has a root in an earlier calendar day of that happening. So we know that Tisha B'Av is connected all the way back to the Chayit HaMeraglim. So what is Asar B'Tavis? This is Asar B'Tavis. He doesn't have a direct marker for this, but he believes that he could theorize that Asar B'Tavis was the time of Mechiras Yosef, that Yosef was sold on Asar B'Tavis, and that was the Sharish of everything. That type of period between the brothers is what led to, you know, indirectly, as we know, to the Galus. And so too, Asar B'Tavis would be the first threat, the first warning call of what would bring about the Galus. And therefore our avoda is to try to be metaking that, is to try to fix this sin and try to bring about shalom in a way that will correct the problem, and that's an active, positive thing. So essentially, what are we doing here? So we have this puzzle, and what we're suggesting is there are a couple of parts that we can throw at that have come from different places, but we put them all together. They all support this idea that Asar B'Tavis is a little bit different, and then Asar B'Tavis, this notion that the Beis Yosef is quoting, that it could take place on Shabbos, is not so crazy. The fact that Tisha B'Av, for all the points that we've had, what we said, we discussed this position of the Beis Yosef, that in theory Asar B'Tavis would be observed on Shabbos. And we discussed the fact that the Or Sameach brings a raya from the Gemara asking about a personal fast on Friday, but not about a calendaric fast. And then we discussed these possible points, each one was clues in the picture as to what could make this conceivable. First of all, if it's not a 24-hour fast, as the Or Sameach points out, it's not so much of a steer to Shabbos. Second of all, maybe the Tanaisim should have won out on Shabbos anyway, because Divrei Kabbalah against Divrei Kabbalah. And as the Mechashkinach explains, it's only because the other three Tanaisim could move any day in the month. The Pasuk just says Tzom HaRevi. But here we have the additional Pasuk of Etzem HaYom HaZeh. Then we discussed also the fact that a Tainus of Tshuva, in theory, is compatible with Shabbos, as we see from Tainus Chalom. We see that Asar B'Tavis is more about Tshuva than it is about an event, because the event that happened is not really significant. It was more of a threat of what's to come. And discuss the role of the Yartzeit for a parent, and Achlokas, Mechaber, and Ramah. And then we talked about the Tanaishim in general, how the Ramban suggests that they're all kind of watered down except for Tisha B'Av, because nowadays they're optional, and we choose to voluntarily take them on. We take them on in a reduced format. And perhaps that means that we take them on only as a day of Tshuva, not as a day of Avelus. And then we discussed that whole issue with Tisha B'Av itself. Tisha B'Av has both components, or competing components, and that if you believe it's the Avelus astoundment, that might be portable, but the day of the character of the day, that's not something that could move. And so to hear Asar B'Tavis, if it's the character of the day as a threat, that also tends to be less portable. And then we discussed Alpi Derech HaDrush, a couple of other elements here. First of all, this idea that the original Asar B'Tavis was on Shabbos and drew on Chil Shabbos in order to give the Malch Babel the support the Chizik to go in. And discussed also this idea from the Chassam Sofer, that Rabbi Simon quotes, that there is a Dion on Asar B'Tavis, what will happen on Tisha B'Av of that year. And this notion as well that Rufama Fisher suggests that Asar B'Tavis was originally the day of Mechiras Yosef, and therefore that type of problem is what we're trying to fix, and that we hope that that will nip everything in the bud and result in a Tisha B'Av that will no longer be a day of fasting, but a day of celebration. Okay, it should be an easy fast, assuming that